Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast with myself, Mo Mootsie, the three-time NBA champion, BJ Armstrong, and a shooter with unlimited range. But you wouldn't know that because he's always wearing a suit because he's making moves in the business world instead, Mr. Scott Perry. How you doing,
he said, hold up, okay. Unlimited range.
Range, I know, exactly. Bro, you scared me, man. Hey, man. My range is very limited now.
And you need to be humble. Talk your stuff, brother. Well, welcome back to the show. As you know, we talk about the biggest and best news stories, updates of NBA basketball. But before that, the March Madness rolls on. Who's really impressed you guys in the men's and the women's?
Right. Hey, on the men's side, the favorite UConn thus far has lived up to their billing during the regular season as the best team in college basketball. They've played terrific. They're tough. They can beat you in a variety of ways. They defend, and they can score. So and they have size, you know, all around the court. So they've lived up to it. There's been some exciting games. I mean, just, you know, looking last night, Duke pulling a big upset over Houston, knocking out a number one seed. That was a big game. And, you know, Duke really showed me something in that game. You know, was worried about them and how they would deal with the physicality and the aggressive nature of how the Houston Cougars play. But they more than met that challenge last night. And so that was good to see. So expecting some, you know, exciting games. The big fella, Edie, is playing very well with Purdue. You know, people, you know, they've been knocked out early the last few years. They've gone to the tournament. And he's playing like maybe the college player of the year. And then I'm going to let BJ talk to you more even about the women's game, because he has on he's representing his university of the most watched team in college basketball, men and women, because they have one Caitlin Clark.
See, thank you. I have an alias name on the show. It's called Real Name No Gimmicks. And I don't like to go around promoting like who I know and what I do and what I've seen. And I don't like to jump on bandwagons when there's trends going on, because there's no gimmicks here. But prior to the show, both of my good friends here recognized why I have on what I have on, because I was just giving a silent, you know, this is my silent contribution to my alma mater. And I don't like throwing names out, but I'm rooting for the Hawkeyes, as we can see. You know, I didn't know where this was going to go today and how it is, but I just wanted to make sure that I support my people. And you know what? And here we are. So, my friends and the universe is saying, hey, let's talk about it. We have to talk about the University of Iowa. Now, they're going to be in a tough bracket. LSU is tough. Coach Don Staley, they had a scare last night. And I'm finding myself, I don't know about you guys, really watching and following this women's basketball in this tournament. It's been outstanding. But I'm really rooting for my Hawkeyes. I'm rooting for them, but it's going to be tough. LSU, I got to go watch this game right now. I already scheduled my day around watching this LSU game. Watching
UCLA.
My Hawkeyes game. Yes, versus UCLA. It's going to be tough. Yeah. It's going to be a tough game. And we're in a tough bracket. But you know what? I expect great things, because we the Hawkeyes. I'm expecting great things because we got Hawkeyes, you know? So let's go Hawks.
I'm pulling for you, BJ, and I'm pulling for that team. Oh, it's very tough, because, you know, they may have to, if they got a tough game themselves tonight against Colorado, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be tough.
Yes, yeah, it's a tough bracket, but I think it'd be great for the college game if somehow your Hawkeyes do get back to at least the Final Four. I think it'd be terrific.
Oh, wow. It's basketball. you know what? We're not going to say somehow. We're going to say, you know what? We see y'all at the Final Four. We're going to see y'all at the Final Four.
You said this about the Super Bowl too, and it didn't work out, BJ.
So it's okay. It's okay. But everybody know what my heart is at. You know what I mean? My heart, you know? See, Scott, they made fun. See, Scott didn't make fun of me. He just didn't give, he didn't endorse my support of our Lions. See, Scott is truly a Lions fan under all of that. And Scott heard me talking like this for years. So Scott knows that this wasn't just this year that I became a Lions fan. Scott knows every year that he's known me, I support my Lions.
No question about it. You know what? And your listeners should know this about BJ and the Legion of Lions fans that exist in the Detroit area. They probably are the most resilient, perseverant group of fans you're gonna ever meet, ever. The Lions for our entire lifetime have not been a factor in the NFL, with the exception of the few years that Barry Sanders was there.
Right.
And they were relevant in the NFL. But aside from that, nothing. Now they are here, and boy, Lions Nation is...
They don't understand anyone.
Mo, if you come over to next year to the States, you're going to have to go to Detroit Lions football game.
We'll see. Anyone born after the year 2008 feels the same way about the Pistons, because they've been a non-factor ever since then. And we're going to talk to the NBA now. That's enough NFL.
And I'm a Pistons fan too. Mo, we can talk about the Pistons, but
But before we do that, I want to say my piece on March Madness and who I'm rooting for. I sent this to BJ a while ago now. I said, this is my favorite player in college basketball. Scott, can you guess who I'm talking about when I say my favorite player? Still alive in the tournament right now, may I add? A Cinderella story.
Your favorite player in the tournament.
In the men's side.
On the men's side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it probably somebody at Alabama?
Nope.
Am I guessing right? Nope.
Nope. I'm talking about NC State.
Oh, the big fella.
I'm talking about DJ Burton. We talk about how Scott Perry can shoot from anywhere, but if you want to see how I play basketball, just watch DJ Burns playing. That's my game right there.
Yeah. The big fella's rocking and rolling.
Man, finally seeing some go to work on the post.
I have to say this. So Scott, when I got, I was in the office yesterday and I got home last night and I got a call yesterday from Sonya, my wife, she called a couple times. You know how it is. Mo doesn't know how it is. You know, when you get two calls back to back, that means something's going on.
Let's educate him now. Got to educate him for his future.
You get one call and you at the office. Okay, that means, just call me when you're done. But when you get two calls, whatever you're doing, you better call back.
Exactly.
So I got the two calls and I said, hold on. Let me take this call.
Uh-huh.
And it was just my youngest son wanted to let me know that NC State was playing and that the big fella was working. My wife was like, how does he know who the kid is, DJ Burns? I said, him and I was watching the game. And I said, the big fella, we refer to him in our house, Twinkle Toes. He's light on his feet, Twinkle Toes, that he was working. And he told her that that was dad's favorite player in college basketball. So you know what, Mo, I appreciate the big fella's game. I appreciate your game. And Scott, we are campaigning, as our listeners know, for Mo to be in the celebrity game at All-Star Weekend. And Mo has guaranteed us, $30 or above and the MVP.
Easy. He's guaranteed 30 points and the MVP.
And the MVP.
I'd love to see it, Mo.
Easy. And Mo,
I'm going to say this. If you don't get 30 points, you better at least get 30 shots.
I'm doing what Shota Murray did the other night.
You better go. You better go down swinging. Exactly. That's what we expect.
DeJounte Murray had 44 points on 44 exactly. shots the other night, so that, exactly. you know my style.
Exactly.
Wow.
But
wow.
before we talk about, because when BJ was saying he's rooting for his Hawkeyes, and then he said let's go Hawks, I had just a PTSD moment. I was thinking, oh God, not again. I don't want to see the Atlanta Hawks ever again. Just before we finish on college basketball, shout out to my boy Mohamed Diarra playing the March Madness tournament while fasting yes. throughout Ramadan. Yes. Salute to you, my brother. It's all love. And we're gonna talk about the NBA though, because you know. The Celtics have had back-to-back losses to the Atlanta Hawks. One of them throwing away a huge lead. One of them going to overtime and DeJounte Murray killing them. But hearing from Joe Mazzulla after the game, where he said, oh, I'm just trying out new stuff because we've locked up the one seed. So I'm using these games as a way to experiment. Does that make you feel better or worse about the Celtics' chances to go deep into playoffs and win a championship? Because I feel like just going to the conference finals isn't enough for this team after such a good regular season.
No, I agree. This team has to get to the finals. And you're a couple weeks away from the playoffs starting. So experimentation, I'm not quite sure what he is referring to when he says that. I think what you want to be doing is playing good, solid basketball going to the playoffs. And they've done that for the majority of the season. But you have to be a little bit concerned that they dropped two games to a team like Atlanta, who was struggling to make it into the, you know, hold on to a play-in spot, you know. And especially the last game that they played, I think Boston had all their guys playing in that game, if I'm not mm-hmm. mistaken, mm-hmm. right? The starting group played. Mm. So you can say, oh, we took our foot off the gas. We're, you know, playing. And BJ can speak to this. You know, the game is nothing really to play around with, especially when the stakes are this high. And
but he was referring to, sorry, just the quote from Joe Mazzulla, was, you know, DeJounte Murray, as we said, had 44 shots and 44 points. And the reports were asking why they didn't double team on DeJounte mm-hmm. Murray. And Joe said that he wanted to get good practice reps for 1-5 switching, because they've not done that too much throughout the season. So especially for Paul Zingas, being able to switch onto those ones and see if he can hold up, especially when someone's on the heater like DeJounte was, that's what he wanted to get a practice reps of.
Okay. And again, you know, hey, he's the coach of the team, and that's a philosophy that he wanted to test drive. You know, that's his prerogative. But at the same time, I'd like to test drive some of those things and win one of those games. Mm. I'm not saying they had to win both, but I just don't like leaving town. You know, they were there for a few days and they playing Atlanta Hawks twice and them not at least winning one of those games. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I just think you want to continue winning as much as you can.
I'm not mad at them. I've been to Atlanta a few times, Scott. Basketball was not the focus on my mind when I spent my time there. So you've locked up the one seed. It's late in the season. I'm not mad at you. Enjoy life, okay. Fellas.
Hey, but see, to your point, I hear you, Mo, but anything short of the NBA Finals and probably short of an NBA championship.
It has to be a championship because yes, they've broken exactly. all these regular season right. like best exactly.
so
point differential.
Anything short of winning the championship, I don't want to be looking back and saying, oh, well, you know, we just kind of waltzed our way into the playoffs and we didn't take these last 2 weeks seriously because we had clinched everything. Mm. No, you got to stay locked in. You got a couple more months to stay locked in. And guess what? You win the title, then you can go hang out in L.A., Miami, L.A., wherever you want to go hang out. It's a time to do that.
Yeah.
And look, our man here, the three-time champion, he can tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they had the same, you know, these cities had the same offerings, if you will, when he was playing, but their team had to decide, okay, what is more important? Hey, to hang out and stay up all night and not come totally locked in to win to the finish line of the regular season and be totally locked in come playoff time? You know, BJ, what do you say to that? Was that you guys' thought process?
Well, I would love to believe that you can turn it on and turn it off as you see fit.
We have this every episode.
No, I would love to believe that.
Yeah, right.
But Scott understands this as an executive. Scott has won a world championship. It is really, really difficult to win in the NBA. And you don't take that lightly. And you can't take that for granted. You can't just say, well, we're experimenting, kind of like a casual thing. When you win in this league, it's because you earned it. And you have to respect the game. Because as we all know, who's worked in this league, played in this league, things can turn very quickly. An injury can turn, people cannot play well, things can just go south. And when you have an opportunity to win and when you have an opportunity to compete, you know, you guys in this generation say, stay locked in. You have to take advantage of this situation. I think you run the chance of being and approaching the game when you start having a casual way of approaching the game. I can deal with losing. Just give me what you got. But when you start saying things like, well, I was experimenting, I'm always concerned because winning is a habit and losing is a habit. And when you win a championship, yeah, you can say you worked hard. You can say you were grinding. You can say all these things. But let me tell you the truth here. You have to win close games. And you need some luck in those close games too. You need a bounce. You need another team didn't execute or whatever the case may be. Because one play is the difference between winning and losing. So I would like this team to continue to build good habits. And Scott knows this. And I'm telling anyone who's ever won a championship, I don't care what level. When you disrespect the game by not doing everything right one time, it can change your whole outcome for that year or for the rest of the season. And the Boston Celtics, they've been terrific. They've shot the ball well. They play however they play. And we can debate about their style. However, don't start experimenting with the game right now.
Yeah.
Well, don't start experimenting. Don't start experimenting because let me tell you something. The teams they're going to be playing in the playoffs, Scott, when the playoffs start, the season is 0-0. Mm-hmm. And we don't care what you did in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And that is it's a mentality.
Well, the scariest part,
keep staying focused.
The scariest part is the Celtics are the one seed. The Hawks are currently 10th, which means if they win their play-in game, they will be the 8th seed. And the Celtics are going to have to face them in the first round. They faced them in the first round last year and dropped 2 games in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And now coming off the back of back-to-back losses in Atlanta, I don't know if that's the first round you really want. But we know the Celtics historically love making life hard on themselves. So we'll see how that rolls out.
Yeah, and you know, the last point about this, the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference right now, I doubt very seriously that they're experimenting at this stage of the season.
They don't have their seeding locked up, so they're trying to improve their rim.
I understand they don't have their seed, but what I'm saying is they're being locked into what they have to do. Mm. And to BJ's point, if I'm at the top of the mountain, and I decided to take my foot off the gas pedal and I'm just kind of switch up what I've been doing all season long that allowed me to be the first to the top of the mountain. Now you're going to say, okay, well, let's recalibrate again and lock back in like we were in the beginning of the year. It doesn't have to happen when you do that. Well, that's all we're saying. Now, again, I still favor the Celtics to come out of the East? Yes.
But full transparency for our listeners, we're recording this on the Saturday before the Celtics play the Pelicans. So we'll see how locked in they are against the good Pelicans team who have been on form recently. But that brings us nicely to our list that we do every couple of weeks here on the show. Your top five contenders ranked in order. Mr. BJ Armstrong. Talk us through
Why we always do these rankings? What is going on with the rankings?
Because number one, they perform very well on social media.
Oh, okay.
Which means we get more people locked in on the show because they've seen the clip and they want to hear the actual debate. And number two, I'm wondering how long it's going to take you guys to give up on Phoenix, who you gave up on last time, and Milwaukee, who I'm looking at right now. That should not be a top five right now. So I'm interested. I want to hear this.
Okay.
Who is
my top team? Okay.
Top five team.
One is the Celtics.
Oh, over the Nuggets now.
Sorry. Yeah, yes, the Celtics. Yes. Right now, the Celtics. Okay. I'm going to say the Celtics. I think Denver now is like second or third right now in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Denver is two right now. Now 3, 4, 5, I really like, but I'm going to go Minnesota. I'm going to go 3, Minnesota. I feel like I have to put Oklahoma in there right now because they've been 1, 2, 3 the entire year. So they're 4. And then 5. I'm just going to say this. I'll go Cleveland.
So the Pelicans have dropped out from your list that you had last time because they were in your top five.
The Pelicans have dropped out.
Why they fall out?
Well, you know, every time they have a game, what we would call a signature game or game that can, like last night against Milwaukee. Like when it's time for them to like step up and say, hey, we've arrived. We're here. We're just kicking in the door. It's not that they lost. It's the way in which they lose.
They didn't lose, though.
Did they lose? I thought they lost last night.
They won by 7 points against the Bucks.
Okay. I'm letting them go. I'm just gonna just say I'm not really confident right now with this team. I love their talent, but I'm not really confident. I thought they lost last night.
Am I tripping?
Yeah, I think you are, Mo.
No,
they
beat the Bucks.
Did they beat the Bucks last night?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought they lost last night.
No, they lost to the Thunder. They lost to the Thunder the game before in a game in which the Thunder Josh Giddey lit them up. So that's never a good way to lose. Okay. But yeah, they beat Milwaukee.
Did they beat Milwaukee? Yes. Okay.
And now they got the Celtics today.
Yeah, I'm just not confident with this group here. So I'm just going to go Cleveland if you're saying right now for my top five.
Scott, let's hear yours.
All right. You know, sometimes old habits die hard. So I'm going to start from 5 and work my way up to 1.
I like that. You listen to the instructions on live.
Exactly.
BJ's in his own world. I'll leave
exactly.
You to it.
Absolutely. Hey. And I know this team has been playing just slightly above 500 basketball lately, but they got a key player back. They've had a couple of key road wins here the last couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
I had them at number 3, I believe, last time, but I'm not taking them all the way out of my top 5, and that's the LA Clippers.
BJ gave up. He didn't even say nothing.
BJ gave up, exactly. I know he gave up on them, but look, long as Kawhi Leonard is healthy, Russell Westbrook is back, you know, and he energizes that group, brings a certain swagger to that team. Do I have some concerns? Yes, I do. But again, I like the depth. I like the talent. So I've got them in at number 5. Now, 4 and 3, a couple of newbies that weren't on my list last week. 4, Oklahoma City Thunder. got to give them mad respect for what they're doing. And, you know, kudos to them last night with a big win without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That team is showing me something. They're starting to compete. Do I have the concerns of them playing against a physical basketball team? Yeah, I still have those. But they execute well. They play well together. I think their confidence is growing. And they have some good depth on that team. So I've got OKC at four. Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be three for me. I watched them last night. And look, that's the number one defensive team in the NBA still. And, you know, the old saying that defense travels. For them to go in and do what they did last night against the Denver Nuggets, that was impressive. And they did that, I mean, really at the defensive end, because Anthony Edwards was not on his full offensive game.
What did they have, like 43 points at halftime they allowed from the Denver Nuggets?
He allowed them 43 points. I mean,
I was flicking through the games, and I thought there was the error on the scoreboard when I saw that the Denver Nuggets had 43 points at halftime.
You know, look, we know what Rudy does on the back line, how he anchors the defense, the altering shots, blocking shots.
We do know what Rudy does. We know what Rudy does.
And he was underrated, too. I think he verbalizes well in the back line to the defenders out front. But they're very versatile defensively. They got size and length with McDaniels
Naz Reid is there as well.
Slow-mo.
Carl Anderson, yeah.
And then when your best player, Anthony Edwards, at the point of attack, really does a tremendous job on the ball defensively, you know. That to me is infectious throughout your ball club. So I like what they're doing, and you can see their confidence growing. And I think they're, you know, primed for a deep run in the playoffs. Number two is still going to be the Boston Celtics for me. I've got Boston at number two. Again, I do have my concerns again with the bench unit. Little concern what happened here in Atlanta. I know it's not the playoffs, but again, I see a few chinks in the armor, and so that's why I still have them as number two. And number one, again, I'm gonna stick with the defending champs, even though they lost last night. Until you knock them out, I've got to keep them at the top of my list.
Good list. Now, for me, the entire thing depends on matchups. And with the Western Conference being so close, like, I did a video on YouTube the other day about, and the title of the video was Why the Dallas Mavericks Will Make the Conference Finals. But that's when the Denver Nuggets looked like they were comfortably going to stay the one seed for the rest of the season. And the Mavericks were going to be in that six seed where they could avoid facing the number one seed until the conference finals. Whereas now, the Nuggets lost a couple games. The Mavericks are still in sixth, and there'd be a first-round matchup. So it's really tough to make these lists without knowing, especially the Western Conference. But the Nuggets, as everyone knows by this point, will remain number one on my list until they are eliminated or they are champions, because I've been believing in that all year long. So I'm going to keep the Nuggets at number one. I'm going to keep the Celtics at number two, because obviously one team from the East, one team from the West. But then after that, I look at the Eastern Conference and I think, over seven games, do I see anyone defeating the Celtics? And then I look at the other teams, right? So obviously the Hawks, we laugh and joke, but I like to think in a seven-game playoff series, the Celtics would take it a little bit more seriously and they wouldn't actually lose two straight games to the Atlanta Hawks. And even if they did, like they did last year, they'd figure it out. The Knicks do concern me because of if they get their guys back from injury. But that's an if, because I still don't know the update on OG's elbow, and it was looking swollen the other day. And I don't know how long it's going to take Julius to feel like Julius again when he comes back from his dislocation injury. The Orlando Magic are an interesting team, but I don't know if they have the experience yet or even the depth to make a really, really deep run. The Cavaliers that BJ put on his list, they're an interesting team to me, but I feel like there's just something about that team at full strength that just doesn't work. You know, like when they've got a guy missing, they can find a way to make it work. But as soon as they've got everyone together, it's like, oh, everyone's here now. Who gets the ball? What are we doing? And so I'm not feeling that. The Pacers, well, we've seen how they've been playing recently. Milwaukee Bucks, I'm not a believer in them whatsoever after their recent, most recent run of form. And Patrick Beverley's now playing through his wrist injury, but he's got some sort of wrist injury going on. But their defense just... They're just looking older and older as time goes on. And then the Miami Heat, who, of course, everyone's like, cool, the Miami Heat, they get to the conference finals every year. They get to the finals every year. You got to stop living off last year's work. Maybe I'll regret saying this, but I just don't see that happening this year. So I've got the Celtics on my list at two as the only team from the East. That's a long-winded way of saying that. Mm-hmm. And then the other three spots I've got the Timberwolves, I got the Dallas Mavericks at four, and I got the Thunder at five. Thanks to Mr. Armstrong's what we spoke about last week in the most impactful players in the playoffs. So if you guys missed that episode, you can go back and listen to that.
Hey, it's interesting.
But I'm putting the Mavericks up there in the fourth spot right now.
The Dallas Mavericks were the team that I looked at moving at five in place of the Clippers.
Mm.
Just wasn't quite ready to do it yet.
But if they
were my next team in, you know, like they.
But
you know,
Scott, if the Clippers and Mavericks played a series right now, mm-hmm. how's that series going to go?
Oh, look, that's a toss up there.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, look, what I'm saying is that would it surprise me that the Mavericks could beat them? No, not at all. The Mavericks could beat the Clippers, but also the Clippers are good enough to beat them as well too. The Mavericks are probably playing better right now these last couple of weeks. I think Dallas has won six straight.
Yep, 9-1 in the last 10.
And BJ said, and I said this earlier when I was on my spot on ESPN this morning.
Yeah, Scott, talk your talk.
Yeah, no, exactly. But that Luka Doncic is having an MVP caliber season. And with the exception of them playing the Denver Nuggets, he arguably is going to be the best player on the floor in any series, any team that they match up against in the Western Conference. So that gives you a chance. And as BJ knows, if you studied the history of the game, if you have the best player on the floor in a series, a lot of times we've seen those teams and those organizations make deep playoff runs.
Absolutely.
So I'm not mad at you having Dallas in there now. I want to see them, and they're improving defensively. I just want to see them continue along that track of improving defensively over these next couple of weeks. If they do that and the Clippers continue to kind of play up and down basketball, they're going to jump into my list.
But before we get to the playoffs, we've got to play in. And I want you both to make a prediction right here. The Warriors or the Rockets for that final play-in spot in the Western Conference? The Rockets have won 11 straight games. The Warriors have obviously got a bit of a wake-up call. They've won their last three. But if they lose one game, they could be out of there and not even making the postseason. Do you think the Warriors hold on to that 10th spot? Or do you think the Rockets and Ime Udoka, who's somehow, I don't know what kind of magic he does, but this is the second time he's coached an NBA team and the second time that for the second half of the season, they just go crazy. So I don't know what he's doing after the All-Star break to get his guys playing like this, but who do you think makes that final 10th seed spot?
Well, it's a tough one, but I'm going to stick with Golden State right now. And here's why. I think they have one more opportunity to play against one another. And I don't know, where's that game at, Mo? Is that in Houston or is that at Golden State?
The head-to-head matchup is going to be in the Toyota Center in Houston.
In Houston, okay. So Houston has played terrific. But I'm just going to give Golden State just the slight edge due to the experience in playing in these type of playoff type games, really, because that's what you have right now. You got teams competing to make get the last spot. And so the Warriors have been here. I have definite concerns with them, obviously, as a team. I don't think they're going to be they're equipped to make any kind of long run if they do, in fact, make it into the playoffs. But right now, I'm still going to give them a slight edge, even though Houston is playing terrific basketball and they're finding way to win games late that they weren't doing earlier in the year. So kudos to the players. Kudos to Ime Udoka for the ascension of the Houston Rockets. But I'm gonna hold on to Golden State at least this week. Check with me next week, Mo.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's that time of the season where we usually talk about which teams we're gonna focus in on this week, but this week you really got to look at the entire league because there is so much happening. Like all the top three teams in the Western Conference are all on 51 wins, and then you've got kind of the middle pack where you've got the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Mavericks. And maybe even the Suns creeping in there who are between like 44 and 46 wins. So the order of those teams could all change. And by the way, if the Mavericks find a way up to the fourth seed, Luka has to be the MVP, in my opinion. And then you've got the play-in picture, which we just spoke about a little bit there. And the Lakers could even make a run at the eighth or even the seventh seed if they get things together. And then over in the East, I mean, the second and third spots are still up for grabs. And then the Knicks, the Magic, the Pacers, and even the Heat, they're all in the mix as well to try and avoid that play-in position at number seven. So we've really got to be locked in for every team. BJ, is there anyone you wanted to talk about in particular?
Well, I was just listening, what Scott was talking about with Golden State. I mean, they are in, literally, it's anyone's game at this point. I mean,
exactly.
It really is. And you know how this goes, right? I want to give a lot of credit to the Houston Rockets for, it is really hard to do what they've done this year, is to be a team where they were clearly at the bottom half last year. I mean, they were second or third worst record in the league or somewhere around there. And all of a sudden they're playing meaningful games at this time of year. And the ascension of Jalen Green has been, I just love when young players take a leap. Suddenly, this young man now is not only scoring a lot of points, right? I think he was he the player of the week or player?
Yeah, he has to be. Yeah,
or something, or Western Conference Player of the Week or something. But you know what's impressive is what they're doing on the defensive end. You said what's the secret sauce? I mean, well, those guys get after you now, and they understand how to play a winning brand of basketball. And Coach Udoka, he comes in and he demands a level of physicality that translates to winning basketball. I mean, it's, we talk about all those things, culture, so forth and so on, but he's done it. So now, this is not a mistake. He's done it now a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
The team that I'm most concerned with, because they have three players that are like max players, and that's the Phoenix Suns. I'm really concerned about them.
Good call.
I want to know if Matt Ishbia can get his refund.
I'm with you there. Good call.
I'm really concerned about them because I don't know where this goes now. I don't know where this goes, and I don't know what you can do as far as the business and the contracts and how they're going to play and how this works.
You can't trade Bradley Beal because he's got no trade clause. You can't trade Kevin Durant because that's Kevin Durant. And you can't trade Devin Booker because once KD and Beal are off the books, that's your only guy you got left. And then on the rest of your roster, you've got no tradable assets. You've got guys on minimums. You've got guys you've signed from the G League. You've got guys on 10 days. You've not really got a lot of pieces that you can go and shop and add to your team. They're in a real tough predicament, and I would not like to be the general manager of the Phoenix Suns right now.
I watched that game the other night against the Thunder, and the Thunder were without their very best player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and they dominated the Suns in that game. That's concerning, given what's at stake here for the Suns. Kevin Durant and Booker and Beal, they understand. They're not trying to go into the play-in side of this tournament. they got an opportunity to finish in the top six. That game was important for them. And to watch him on the defensive end was alarming, because Oklahoma City drove into the lane and got to the rim at will, and which created all the open three-point looks. And then offensively, one other point, I know BJ has talked about this a lot since I've been on the show, and when we talked about Phoenix early in the year, how would they be without a point guard on the roster? You know, the whole experiment with Devin Booker playing the point guard. And so when you start watching them now, you can tell they miss having that player who can kind of organize things on the court. Don't disrespect to Devin Booker. Great player.
But should I tell you the worrying part for me, Scott, is when you look at the two other stars in Grayson Allen and Yusuf Nurkic, I believe that those two guys have exceeded the expectations of what people thought that they would bring. Grayson Allen in terms of his shooting, and Yusuf Nurkic just dominating the boards. He's like a one-man rebounding machine. So it's like, you can't ask for any more from those two guys in your lineup. So what's the reason that we're not... Because I remember when we started doing these top five lists a couple months ago, everyone had Phoenix in their top five. Well, you two had Phoenix in your top five. Phoenix. They'll get it together by the playoffs. We got to All-Star. We got to the trade deadline. They still not got it together. And now we're getting towards the playoffs and they're in the seventh seed. And, you know, they're only, what, two games ahead of the Lakers, who are ninth? So... I don't know how they're going to get it together. I don't know how, because they have such an over-reliance on the mid-range shot as well. And it's pretty much just Grayson Allen letting it fly from deep. The other guys like to get to the mid-range bag, which statistically, when you play in the modern NBA, everyone else is shooting threes and you're shooting twos. It's hard for you to win that way, just based on the percentages, and that's how they play. So I'm worried about them. I get the owner went all in on trying to compete, and I respect it. But I think that Bradley Beal trade, like I asked you guys about this last week, right? That Bradley Beal trade was one trade too far for me. I would have kept a point guard on the team.
No, you can tell from where I sit, they missed that leadership and that organizer on the court. And that could be that's problematic. Especially when you start playing the better teams and you get locked in the 7-game series. So definitely concerns there. That was a good call, BJ. I mean, that was a team that if they're given the amount of talent that's on the team.
Right. But do you know what my biggest concern is, though, for the playoffs? And this is the concern that has me, I think about it's 24/7. This is the number one concern I have. Is anyone out there who hasn't yet subscribed to this show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple? Because when the playoffs get here, there's only one show that you got to look into, because we're going to be here every single day. So you might be worried about the Phoenix Suns, but if you're not subscribed to the show, I'm more worried about you. So make sure you subscribe to the Hoop Genius Podcast. We're going to be back with more tomorrow, the day after, the day after. We're going to keep going. Scott's going to be back as well next week. And Scott's going to pop in throughout the playoffs as well, as he's now part of our family here on the show. Appreciate both of you, fellas. Appreciate you guys who tuned in and listened. We'll be back. We didn't get a chance to record the other day, Friday's episode, so we'll be answering your questions on Tuesday's episode. So make sure you got them submitted to the Discord. And until next time, my good people, appreciate you tuning in, and get buckets.